This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In the program today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by a segment dedicated to the family. Today we shall close with a promo for our program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis had a peaceful and restful night in hospital. This is according to a Holy See Press Office statement published on Sunday morning. This latest update to journalists comes after the ninth night in hospital for the Holy Father, who is being treated for double pneumonia at Gemelli Hospital in Rome. On Saturday night, the Holy See Press Office issued an evening health update of the Holy Father, stating the fact that his condition continues to be critical. On Sunday morning, the statement explained that Pope Francis experienced an asthma-like respiratory crisis of prolonged intensity, which required the administration of high flow of oxygen. Sunday's blood tests also revealed thrombocytopenia, a situation associated with anemia, which is a problem of not having enough healthy red blood cells or hemoglobin to carry oxygen from the lungs to the tissues of the rest of the body. Having anemia can cause tiredness, weakness, and shortness of breath. For this reason, when the Pope exhibited this reality, he had to be assisted to breathe properly by administering oxygen. According to the Holy See Press Office briefing to journalists on Sunday morning, the Holy Father remains alert and spent the day in an armchair, although he is more fatigued than the day before. At the moment, the prognosis remains guarded, the update said. At a press conference at Rome's Gemelli Hospital late on Friday afternoon, Dr. Sergio Alfieri, the head of the team taking care of the Pope, and Dr. Luigi Carbone, the vice director of the Vatican's healthcare services, addressed journalists for over 40 minutes. The pair said that they believed that the 88-year-old Pope would be hospitalized for at least the whole of the coming week, and that Pope Francis is not in danger of death, but he is also not fully out of danger. Pope Francis, who has a chronic lung disease, was admitted to Gemelli Hospital on February 14th after a week-long bout of bronchitis worsened. Doctors first diagnosed the complex viral, bacterial, and fungal respiratory tract infection and then the onset of pneumonia in both lungs. They prescribed absolute rest and a combination of cortisone and antibiotics, along with supplementary oxygen when he needs it. The Vatican this weekend hosted the fourth major event of the Jubilee of Hope, which is the celebration of the Jubilee Year for Deacons, a ministry in the Catholic Church that precedes the ordination to the priesthood. The festivities were planned to take place between 21st and 23rd February, attracting not less than 4,000 deacons from all over the world, as we hear in this report.
Events started on Friday in 12 of Rome's churches, with prayer meetings as well as a series of gatherings looking at the theme Concrete Signs of Hope in a Diaconal Ministry. On Saturday morning, Jubilee participants passed through the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica, one of the conditions for receiving the plenary indulgence granted during the Jubilee year, while a conference on the role of deacons in the Synodal Church took place in an auditorium near the Vatican. Archbishop Bertrand Lacombe from France said that we've come bearing what we have in our hearts, charity, liturgy, and the word. And he said, let's be surprised by the way we become ever more pilgrims of hope, urging that first here in Rome and then on our return to France. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Pope Francis was scheduled to accompany the deacons during their three-day pilgrimage to Rome. This Jubilee for Deacons actually concluded on Sunday, 23rd February, without the physical presence of the Holy Father, who himself was scheduled to preside over the concluding Eucharistic celebration in St. Peter's Basilica. Instead, Pope Francis had asked the pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization and the chief organizer of the Jubilee, Archbishop Reno Fiskela, to preside over the concluding Mass for the Jubilee for Deacons. Archbishop Fiskela remained faithful to his mandate to preside over the Mass for the Jubilee for the Deacons and delivered the homily that would have been given by the Pope himself.
Fratelli e sorelle, e soprattutto voi, carissimi diaconi,
brothers and sisters, especially dearest deacons, you who in a few minutes through the imposition of the hands will enter into the sacred orders of the diaconate, Fiskela introduced the homily and went on to say that it makes me particularly happy to have to give you the readings of the homily that Pope Francis himself would have communicated to you on this special Sunday.
Nella celebrazione eucaristica, dove la comunione,
in the Eucharistic celebration, in which communion assumes the full and significant dimension, we hear Pope Francis, even as he lies in that Gemelli hospital bed, we still hear him close to us, we hear him present here among us, and this reality obliges us to render even stronger and intense our prayers so that the Lord may help him in this moment of trial and sickness.
Il Signore lo assista nel momento della prova e della malattia. Il messaggio delle letture che abbiamo ascoltato.
And then he went on straight to deliver the homily of the Holy Father that began by saying that the message of the readings that we have just heard can be summarized in one word, which is gratuitous, meaning given or done free of charge. Here is a report by Lisa Zengarini about the Holy Father's homily read on his behalf by the pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization and the chief organizer of the Jubilee, Archbishop Reno Fiskela, during the concluding Mass for the Jubilee for Deacons in St. Peter's Basilica.
In the homily, Pope Francis focused his reflection on the theme of gratuity, which he said is particularly relevant to the diaconate, but is also vital for all Christians in their journey of faith. Drawing from today's readings, he highlighted three declinations of gratuity, the first of which is forgiveness, summarized by Jesus' command to love our enemies. With this call, the Pope explained, Jesus reminds us that we need to be able to forgive and to ask forgiveness to rebuild the relationships, because a world that feels nothing but hatred towards its adversaries is a world without hope and without a future, doomed to endless war, divisions and vendettas. Forgiveness is therefore an essential part of the Christian vocation and of the deacon's ministry in particular. The Pope then mentioned selfless service, emphasizing Jesus' words, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. He encouraged deacons to serve joyfully and with humility, without seeking recognition, thus heeding the example of Jesus, who teaches us that greatness comes through serving others. Through your cooperation and generosity, the Pope observed, you will be a bridge linking the altar to the street and the Eucharist to people's daily lives. The third aspect of gratuity Pope Francis highlighted was communion, which is nurtured by giving freely without expecting anything in return. Communion, he said, is built by extending their mission and embracing the poor, the treasures of the Church. Deacons express communion by making others feel valued and included, not just with words, but through their actions, the Pope said. Concluding, Pope Francis turned to those preparing for priesthood, inviting them to consider their priestly ordination not as a promotion to a higher status, but rather as a descent into humility and service. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Things being normal, Pope Francis, after the Eucharistic celebration for the Jubilee for Deacons, would have appeared in the window of his apostolic palace overlooking St. Peter's Square to recite the Sunday Midday Angelus prayer with the faithful and pilgrims gathered there. Yet the Holy See Press Office published the Holy Father's written address, in which he encourages deacons to continue their service joyfully and with love. He also expresses his gratitude to the doctors and healthcare workers caring for him and for the patients throughout the hospital. He also reminded the faithful and all the people of goodwill about the third anniversary of the Russia-Ukraine war on 24th February. Linda Bodoni has this report.
Tomorrow, Pope Francis recalled, marks the third anniversary of the full-scale war against Ukraine, a painful and shameful anniversary for all of humanity. The Pope's words came during the Angelus address on the eve of the three-year anniversary of the full-scale Russian invasion in Ukraine. In his remarks that were published by the Holy See Press Office as he is being treated for double pneumonia at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, the Holy Father remembered the martyred Ukraine. As I renew my solidarity with the martyred Ukrainian people, he said, I invite you to remember the victims of all armed conflicts and to pray for the gift of peace in Palestine, Israel, and throughout the Middle East, in Myanmar, in Kivu, and in Sudan. And turning to his own situation, he also expressed his gratitude for all those who have been praying for him. In these days, he said, I have received many messages of affection. I have been particularly moved by the letters and drawings from children. Thank you for this closeness and for the comforting prayers I have received from all over the world, the Pope added, before entrusting everyone to the intercession of Mary, and, as he always does, asking for prayers. In the Angelus address, Pope Francis also recalled the jubilee of deacons underway in the Vatican. He noted that this morning Mass in St. Peter's Basilica included the ordination of several deacons. To his dear brothers in the diaconate, he said, I urge you to continue with joy your apostolate, and as today's gospel suggests, to be a sign of a love that embraces all, that transforms evil into good and generates a fraternal world. The Holy Father thanked the deacons for dedicating themselves to the proclamation of the word and to the service of charity, and for carrying out their ministry in the church with words and deeds and bringing God's love and mercy to all. In this spirit, the Pope urged them, do not be afraid to risk love. I'm Linda Bordoni.
You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family. Archbishop Martin Kivuva Musonde is the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Mombasa in Kenya. He's our guest on Family Today.
Thank you for having me. My name is Archbishop Martin Kivuva Musonde. I'm the Archbishop of Mombasa currently, and I belong to the Conference of the Catholic Bishops of Kenya. Was the president for 3 years, and now I'm back in the Archdiocese at the national level. They gave me the position of a deputy communication co-bishop of
the
Communication Commission. So I'm happy to be here in Vatican Radio, Paul, and for many years I want to thank you for the work. You've been here very consistent. Never give up.
And thank you for always being my mentor. I started communication with you. I sat under the feet of Gamaliel.
I'm humbled. You've done well. Thank you so much.
It's been like many years. Mm-hmm. Your Grace, let me start by asking from a general perspective about Kenya. Last year, Kenya went through a couple of crises. There were floods. Then we had riots by young people, the Gen Zs. And now we hear of femicide, disappearances, abductions. What, in your assessment, is the state of the nation regarding all these challenges that I have mentioned?
Thank you for this question. That combination of issues, first of all, the what you call natural calamities or disasters, the floods and everything else, the floods, the drought and then the floods, was a very difficult moment because we're just finishing one crisis after another. And that you cannot control. That it's God made, it's nature complaining about what we have done to it. And it was a very difficult time, especially the dioceses where, in the north, where drought is rampant. They lost all their camels, cows, in some parts, people were just reduced to paupers. They didn't have any much to eat. However, there was always a movement. There's always a movement of charity and support. So there was an appeal to raise food, to raise money, to support dioceses like Marsabit, dioceses like Isiolo, Lodwar. Those are typical northern dioceses that are prone to drought. The second thing you mentioned about, we call them the Gen Zs. The Gen Zs, the young men, the techno-savvy
generation
getting agitated. It's about governance. It is about governance. Remember, we had elections not so long ago. So the leadership got into a very difficult moment because there were issues surrounding issues on governance, alleged corruption, alleged mismanagement of institutions and so on. We are not out of the woods yet, but that's how the uprising, what we call, of active nonviolence. This is a way we've seen years ago, the Arabian Spring, of young people coming up and say, we agitate for something. And they do not do much. They are not damaging much. But they become like the voice now of the people. And I remember 2019 ourselves, the Catholic Church in a place we have every year pilgrimage. It's called Subukia. It's a shrine place. And during that time, we were also feeling the heat of corruption. The bishops took off their shoes. We knelt without shoes. We walked without shoes to agitate for a corruption-free state or a corruption-free country. But of course, it's not easy. It's easier said than done. The new administration came on board, but see, the cracks were there. They were not able to contain it. So that's how that came in. Of course, they had a reason to come up because, one, complaining about unemployment. Many were graduates, but no jobs, or even any jobs, and no meaningful job that can provide them or the basic needs and so on. I cannot say who was organizing it, but somehow it emerged like a movement type of thing. And as a church, we came in because they also one day we were invited by the president, and then we went to he was trying to find what can he do. The next day, they put us on social media, bishops. We respect you, but we don't fear you. This man here, whom you went to visit, is our number one enemy. You know, something like that.
Yes.
And so all of us kind of got very interested to do something. So I picked up myself the social media as well. I invited a young people forum. We discussed about the issues and the approaches. Other dioceses went ahead and called the young people to their cathedrals, to their parishes, and tried to speak with them and walk with them to tell them and share with them that, we hear you, but solutions can be only be found on a round table, dialoguing, speaking together and finding solutions. So anyway, it's not over yet. But then the second thing, which follows part of your question you intimated, was then there was the government came in strong to try to stop them, try to put them away from making the social noise, which was also influencing other people and other teams to go on strike because of the issues of taxation as well. Taxation was an issue still because there was a bill that was coming to be debated to form a law. So the country was really disturbed, and then quite many people agreed with the young people. But of course, they had said, please, you must leave the seat. You know, it's a concern even today as we speak, because the economics of the day, no employment, you're being taxed for many, many things. We understand because there's no any other way to raise money except to engage taxes. But if you overdo them, then they also crush. Every pills pain and pinched and so on. So that is the situation up to the moment. The flow of money is limited, and most people feel it is not because there's no money, it's because it's being channeled to maybe to wrong projects or something like that. So this is a concern, and I know it's a concern world over in many countries. We watched ourselves, different countries, go through that. So you understand when the larger community feels under pressure, they cannot afford school fees. And then there was a health facility which is done through the government, NHIF, which were changed into something else, and that something else was not working. So many issues on the table. And then what has happened is he impeached his own
the vice president.
Yes. Had too many issues on the table. It's very difficult.
I can imagine. But I think credit to the bishops in Kenya. You have always been very forthright, always been there. And you are known for being candid and prophetic, even in your pastoral letters.
Yes.
And recently, just before Christmas, I remember you spoke about a culture of lies from the elite, not just the politicians, but from the elite, which you denounce.
Yeah, the point is, who will bail the cat? Because at the end of the day, if no one speaks, it's extremely dangerous. Right now, because of this disappearance and or deaths, we don't know which side comes from, which seemingly it's apportioned to people within the context of government or some group doing the dirty work.
Yes.
He has claimed he does know, but we also say he has the machinery to find out
who is doing all this.
So, and we want him to find out if he knows this person. This is going back to old days of colonialism and whatever.
People just disappeared.
We don't know where they are. And there's been cases and cases. They are seeming to be a group following certain people who say certain things, who are anti-government. So, and now with the deputy being
impeached,
there's more loud voices speaking aloud, and everybody is saying, "Wait, why is it so?" So, what we do? We're meeting to evaluate. After our statements, we like to think together, because common wisdom tells you you're better off than just one individual waking up and say something loud and he gets the hammer. But that is not the point. The point is the country is not stable. The country is not stable. We are praying about it. But let me give you hope. The hope is for me. The hope is that as we have done all this, at least we've been able to get the politician out of our pulpit. You know, they were almost mingled with us, and they arrived there. And unfortunately, certain groups seem to like that. I mean, I'm talking other group of churches, some churches. And we are discouraging the politicking on our pulpits.
Seen that you are discouraging getting money, you know.
When
I know parishes always need money, the temptation someone comes.
The reason is very simple. Personally, the reason is very simple. If you so do, if I'm dishing out a few millions every weekend, first of all, where am I getting that money? Why does it not go to a common pool and distribute it to areas like education, health? Because as now we were claimed, the government had debts with us because they were not paying certain things. So there's a big, huge debt there. The students who are supposedly getting bursaries were not getting as it should be. So we feel we'd be seen as part of the problem and not part of the solution if we keep receiving this money. And it's good to share, yes. But how? Because that can become in itself an abuse. Or a bribe to the church people, so that you are shut is like giving a bone to a barking dog, and it will forget what it should be doing but be eating the bark. So there is this kind of an experience.
Archbishop Martin Kivuva Musonde from the Archdiocese of Mombasa in Kenya on Family.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
Hello, dear listeners. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, the Pope's Radio. We want to start by thanking you for being such an important part of our radio family. We would love to hear from you. Is there something you'd like us to feature more? Share your thoughts and let us know how we are reaching you, whether on shortwave radio, on FM, digital radio, or through our daily podcast. Also tell us from where you are listening and from which of the local radio stations that are rebroadcasting our program. You can text or WhatsApp us at +39 331 759 3275 or email us at inglese.africa@spc.va. That is inglese, I-N-G-L-E-S-E, .africa@spc.va. If you miss out on our radio broadcast, you can download the podcast within an hour after it goes on air at 16:30 GMT between the months of October and March, and at 17:30 GMT between April and October. Just go to www.vaticannews.va/en. You will see the podcast symbol on the top right-hand side of the website. Click on it and then choose English for Africa. You can also download our Vatican News app from the App Store or from Google Play Store to listen to the live broadcast, which is also available from our website.
On that note, we come to the end of our bulletin today. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.